In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity. And welcome back to another week on the Catholic Toolbox. I'm your host and founder, George Manasseh, here on 1701 AM, Voice of Charity Radio Network, and also live on Cradio Online Radio, here as the art of practical Catholicism, as we equip you with practical solutions to live your Catholic faith in our modern world today, especially during this time of crisis of COVID-19. The parishes have shut, the masses have ceased, and there is no better man to be commenting on this topic of running a parish during this very tough season and running a parish overall. When life will go back to normal, we don't know. But when it does go back to normal, how do we run a parish? And especially, how do we get through this time? I welcome Father Bob Bassini, parish priest and good friend. How are you, Father Bob?
George, how are you? Good, thank you. How are you?
It's great to have you live here. I'm sorry for the delay for everybody live here. We're just adjusting our systems to adapt to the social social distancing. So it's just a bit of a challenge here. So it's great to have you.
It's been a week of disruptions and adaptions.
Yeah, I think everybody is just adapting very much, and you very much are well respected within the community of Parramatta. Especially, you've been fighting very much for the Mass and to keep the Mass going, mm-hmm. and to bring Christ and keep Christ to the faithful, especially during this very tough season, especially as the government's changing pretty much every single day and the day-to-day. We can't even go 24 hours without a new change that's coming up, and it's sort of hard to keep up to date with the new changes every single day, Father. Wonderful. Yeah.
Certainly, it's very, very strange times. And I mean, Archbishop Fisher commented on and compared it to the early years of settlement here, where the government prohibited the celebration of the Eucharist, and it wasn't until quite a number of years that an Irish priest was able to come here and celebrate Mass for the community. For us, the public celebration of Eucharist will hopefully only be for a couple of months, but as parish priest here at the cathedral, my ministry together with Father Chris is to maintain as much pastoral care for the people as possible, because for them, a lot of the elements of their life that I wouldn't say that they took for granted, but that were just here, like even just coming to Mass, listening to Mass, participating in Eucharist and all that has changed.
Exactly.
So as much as possible, we're trying to keep a fairly normal atmosphere with the people. So basically what we're doing is both Father Chris and I are celebrating, I don't like the term private Mass, but we're celebrating Mass in the cathedral, in a locked cathedral at 6:30 and 12:30. And as much as possible, people can either attend, and hopefully by the end of the week we're hoping to actually live stream the Masses so that people can have that contact.
I think that is
very, very important.
That is absolutely phenomenal, and I'll definitely be there during this time. I mean, people just want the Mass. People want to stay close to Allah, especially during this time of challenge. There is no greater time where our faith is being tested. And I definitely, do you see this, Father, as a test from Almighty God? Can God possibly be testing us during this time?
Oh, certainly every difficult moment becomes a test for our faith.
Yep.
And in some ways it's good, because it allows us not to become complacent with the things that are very much everyday part of our life. So this time, I think, it's a time for us to look at what are the basics of our faith, what are the basics of our life, and then to perhaps renew those priorities.
Especially, and as we discussed tonight, the art of running a parish, especially during this time, there's no greater time than speaking about the parish when essentially the center of the parish life has been taken away from us. What can we refer to from the church's teaching? Let's now open the toolbox of the church, from the teaching of the church. What does Holy Mother Church provide us with in terms of understanding the very nature of a parish?
Well, certainly, Canon Law is fairly clear on that. There are quite a number of canons there that tell what the responsibilities of parish priests and administrators. But basically, the notion of a parish is one of community, and it's a community of Christian faithful, and there has to be a sense of stability. So within certain geographical boundaries, the parish exists. And it exists under the authority and the responsibility of the bishop. The parish priest is the presence of the bishop within a parish, and works in collaboration with other people and also with the bishop himself.
That's absolutely wonderful. So it's essentially, let's say, a territory in within the diocese.
In such, yeah. But certainly in the last, 30 years, the boundaries are a bit more fluid. I think people are I wouldn't say searching for the right parish, but when I grew up, especially like with marriages, you had to get married if it was a mixed marriage. You had to get married in the parish of the Catholic party. If it was if both were Catholic, get them married in the parish of the bride. And it was very unusual for people to celebrate marriage in a parish that they didn't belong to. But now there's a sense of a bit of fluidity with that. And although by that, people within parish are welcome, but there has to be a sense of if you come to a parish and you constantly worship in a parish, there's a real responsibility to register as a member of that parish. Because it's a bit like being, like a follower of football, and then going from the Eels sort of social club for a couple of months, and then going to South Sydney, and then going to this other club. There has to be a sense of commitment to a parish. It's not advisable to simply go to a parish because you like what's happening there. If you commit yourself to a parish, well, it has to be a total commitment.
So, look, do you think that the reason why people go to they sort of parish hop is because, look, unfortunately these days, sometimes you go to your local parish and it may not be the most spiritually, theologically, catechetically fulfilling parish compared to the one next down, or maybe the one 20 minutes away or 30 minutes away. I know a lot of faithful Catholics choose to go to certain, let's say, for instance, the traditional Latin Mass or a different parish which they know it has a vibrant community and let's say, a bit more of a fulfilling catechesis. Do you think that's a contributing factor? What are your thoughts on that?
It certainly could be one. I mean, it's certainly that and perhaps sort of clashes of personalities and so forth. But I think the notion of a parish is so difficult because you've got such a variety of people's backgrounds and theologies and so forth that as a pastor, it's difficult to cater for everyone. And in my experience as a pastor, there's always one or two who may not agree with what you're doing. But as a pastor, I've always gone by what the church teaches, what the church approves. And if people find that a bit difficult, well, then that's on their conscience. I mean, I'm quite happy to speak with people who might find things difficult to accept in a parish. But whatever I've put into a parish, whatever I've initiated in a parish, whatever I've backed in a parish, has always been faithful to the church's teachings.
And it's pretty standard. I mean, if you go to any kind of an organization and you sort of need to agree with what they teach. So, I mean, it's sometimes been hard for a lot of young people to be Catholic in the Catholic Church. I mean, it's not too much to ask. I think those, from my observation, the parishes which do perform well catechetically are the ones which attract most people. And there's older, and there's most certainly a younger demographic. People flock there. A lot of young people my age flock to the good parishes, the ones that have the parish priest's teaching of the church unambiguously, liturgically. The liturgy is well done according to the tradition of the church, and there's catechesis, and there is a sense of community. Community is important as well, but it isn't everything. We're there for our Lord primarily.
Well, that's right. And I mean, a parish isn't just a social club where someone goes to feel good. It's a commitment to building up the kingdom of God and to allow people to journey towards their heavenly homeland. So it's not just simply a group of people who sort of feel good about themselves or whatever. Certainly community is very strong, but it's a community for a particular purpose, and that purpose is for the chief pastoral care of people.
Definitely, Father, that is absolutely well grounded what you're trying to say. And especially now, how can we as a church, how can the parish life cease to die out during this time of the coronavirus? What can priests be doing as a little bit of a guideline, and parishioners hand in hand? What can they be doing to keep the life of the parish alive?
Well, looking at some of the responsibilities that a parish priest has to his flock, you know, as based in Canon 5.2.8, it says simply that he must preach the word of God. So even though the way in which we were actually preaching that, where people were in one building at Mass and so forth, the priest has to ensure that word is still preached and still available to people.
Yep.
So through social media, through handouts, through reflections and things of that nature. So that word of God has to continually be preached to instruct the faithful and to promote apostolic work. So those who can help people in this time of trial, and you know, by perhaps having something within a parish where a group of people will contact, especially the elderly, the housebound, those who are perhaps more liable to get this particular virus, that can be a great apostolic work to work, especially with you know, if the next step is to shut down schools, that's going to put an incredible amount of pressure on families. So to ensure that families have that support. You know, and some families could struggle, especially if both parents are working and they've got young kids who have to stay at school. And then, you know, things like childcare would close as well. So we need to give them as much support as possible. And then to just simply allow the sacraments to still, like a sacramental atmosphere to still be there. I mean, here at the parish we have the Blessed Sacrament exposed, and it's within the Lock Cathedral, and it faces the cloister, and then, you know, there's the glass partition there, and I think that becomes like a beacon of light for people.
It does.
You know, the parish hasn't abandoned them. That it reminds them that, you know, the Christ is still part of our life, and a very strong part of our life. So we need to perhaps, I wouldn't say rethink our Eucharist, but we need to continue our Eucharistic presence. And we're urged to, as priests, to celebrate Mass for the people. And the adaptation is that we don't celebrate with the people at the moment, but we celebrate for the people. And I think if the people know that their priests are praying for them, I think it could give them that sense of strength in this time, that they're not abandoned.
Definitely. And I myself, you know, as a member of your parish, definitely, and a lot of the parishioners who may be listening to us tonight are definitely appreciative of the vast rise to the challenge that you and Father Chris have definitely stepped up to. In no matter what legislation is thrown at us, we always make the effort for God and to make the Mass as accessible as possible, the sacraments as accessible as possible, during this time.
We're not throwing caution to the wind. I mean, we're certainly working with the government authorities and agencies and so forth. But we're not just simply flaunting what they're telling us. We're trying to as much as possible, adapt what they're saying.
Yep.
So the people aren't completely abandoned. You know, we still have, you know, confessions. It's outside. It's within the structured sort of social distancing and so forth.
Yep.
And I think that also becomes quite a strengthening thing for people as well.
Yeah, definitely. And that essentially is the challenge, that we need to comply with the government legislation, and we're doing that and still making the effort. Instead of, look, the easy way out is just to say, look, we're not going to run the sacraments. It's too much of a risk for us. Mm. When we could essentially do that if within the limits of the government legislation and still be accessible and do it as per the legislation, which is why, you know, which is tremendous work that you're doing, Father. And the parish thanks you, and everybody else is grateful for what you're doing.
Well, I was ordained to work with the people and for the people, and that's been my sort of, I suppose, mission statement in many ways. So, yeah, it's very difficult times for everyone. But as much as possible, we need to be as positive during this time and see what we can do as pastors for people.
Definitely, absolutely. And look, as you said, social media is probably the biggest ally that we have at the moment, especially this radio, which reaches so many people. I just want to reach out to our parishioners to please tune in live every week, the Catholic Toolbox, from 8 to 9 p.m. We're a little bit late tonight, but we're usually 8 o'clock to 9 p.m., so a full hour. This is the way this is the way of the future. And we as a church, this teaches us a lesson that we have to step up to the game for the future. And this is part of the practical solution, in essence, in consistency with the Catholic Toolbox, which finds practical solutions. So let's now turn, Father, to three practical solutions that you'll leave our listeners to actually implement the parish life. Whether it's a parish priest listening, whether it's a lay person that's listening, what are three practical solutions that we can work towards? What can we take from this?
Well, certainly, I mean, in this time of crisis, I think we need to turn the image that Pope Francis gives us of the church as a field hospital. And as you know, with all field hospitals, they don't work as well-established hospitals. They're pretty much working with very basic primitive material. So here we need to get back to basics, and to allow the pastoral care to be seen in a very real way. With a parish, perhaps sort of post the coronavirus thing, I think the three things would be liturgical involvement, that it's not just simply the role of the priest to provide the sacraments and so forth, but there is a sense that people have to be involved in that, in liturgy, in liturgical formation and so forth. The second point will be involvement with formation. I mean, what happens with, you know, with your radio broadcast is good. What happens in parishes with our Lectio Divina, with Bible studies and the like. I mean, as much as possible, people need to have the faith explained to them, be available to them, so they can actually grow in that faith. And thirdly, is to collaborate. The role here, certainly my role as parish priest is you know, sort of through the authority of the bishop, but really I'm here for a limited time. People are here on a parish basis for a longer time than I'll be here. So we need to work together to build the best possible pastorally oriented parish that we can. And I think those three things are quite important. I think it summarizes very well in the cards that we have, that we hand out, that have our parish contacts. And three words are grow, connect, and serve. So those three elements, I think, if they're available in the parish, one, a parish is not static in terms of we just do things because we've done them for the last 20 years like that. There has to be a sense of growth, a growth in numbers, certainly, a growth in faith. There has to be a sense of connectedness. People need to feel belonged. And all this is done in order to serve the spiritual needs and pastoral needs of the people in the parish.
Definitely. And going back to the first practical tool, that is liturgical involvement. That is, I myself am liturgically involved as a server and master of ceremonies in the parish. And I encourage a lot of men who may be called to the discerning call to the priest, or possibly to start serving. It's the first step, definitely, to start as a server. And
that's right.
And it's very important, because look, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is the source and summit of our faith. I mean, it's essentially the main reason why we have the parish community. We're centered around that, and so for parish priests, I think it's essential, from my observation, is that they look after the liturgies to make sure that the servers are in order, the liturgical formalities are implemented, and especially music. Sacred music is a big thing, and I big shout out to Bernard, our director of music, and especially does a tremendous job. And obviously, we won't be hearing much singing for the next while or so, but definitely.
Even with that, we're working towards, you know, with the live streaming thing. There's a means where the choir is looking at sort of putting together some music that can be done not only as background, but as a type of hyperlink that people can also listen to as well. Through our apps and all that. So yeah, because it'll be last Sunday when we actually celebrated Mass before the actual church lockdown. It was really quite incredible to go through Sunday Mass without any music or cant or anything of that nature. It was just
especially the solemn high Mass at 11 a.m. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just such a phenomenal choir, and people just are used to that, to clothe the worship of God and to bring solemnity to the worship. But it's great that now, look, the world, there's something great coming out of this. There's obviously, with every challenge that we're rising to, something great comes out of this. And we as a church are looking at ways to be innovative for the future. And I think, look, it's woken up a lot of people, and I'm sure you've noticed, Father, a lot of people's faith who was dormant, was dry. And now people are waking up and saying, look, this is a challenging time. Look at what's being taken away from us, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and the source and summit of our faith. People are waking up to their faith. And it's raising a sense of consciousness for the faith.
Well, in many ways, George, the Mass hasn't been taken away from people. It's just the reception of the Mass is different. It's the priest praying for the people.
Yeah.
So the Mass is still there in its entity. It's just being it's being presented in a different manner. There's a for want of a bit of it. There's a bit of a kind of wall between ourselves and the people, but that doesn't mean that we're not with them. Or the Masses that we celebrated last week have been certainly for the people. So it's a sense that the people are experiencing Mass in a very different way.
Definitely, Father, and that's definitely true. And you talk about collaboration. How important do you think is it that the parish pastoral council collaborates and is able to implement the strategies that they forecast?
I mean, in many ways, the people on the parish council have to be the eyes and ears of the priest in terms of being the people who are out there and who can engage the sorts of things that people require for their own sort of spiritual and pastoral growth. So, and then to engage with people, and then to bring those ideas and notions back to the meeting, so that it's not just simply a group that talks about ideals that can never be put in place, but they're talking about the actual needs of the parish community. So there has to be a collaboration, certainly between the pastor and the members of the council, but also between the members of the council and the wider community, so that they feel and are engaged. And that through there, because the members of the parish council can reach out to members of the community that the priest perhaps may not, and sometimes people may be a bit hesitant to mention to the priest the sorts of things they want, but are more likely to engage in discussion with members of the council, and certainly with, I mean, I'm very supportive of the parish council and also the finance council, because we got a very good cross section in both councils, of people in different ministries, and especially with the finance there, we've got some very, very good advisors there.
That's definitely wonderful, Father. And I think the biggest challenge is, especially in our parish and all the other parishes around each diocese, is over these, let's say, 6 months or so, it could be even longer, how can people stay in touch if there isn't any Mass? Apart from social media.
George, there are Masses. I think people need to realise that Mass is there and Mass is being offered for them. So from that particular point of view, it's the Mass is there for them. It's just being set. You know, it's being celebrated in very different very different ways people just we're not celebrating it together in a building in a church. But the priest, myself, and Father Chris, we are celebrating it for the people, and I think the people need to recognise that.
And look, I think definitely that it just will be different, because you know you're not going to have everybody getting together again like the same way that we did. You know, the events are changing, and so I think this is a wake up call for the church to really increase its presence online through media, through radio, through social media, which is the way of the future. And if we need to ride this tide and get with it and really step up to the game to propagate the gospel. I think a lot of people have been shocked. Their faith has been a lot of people don't go to church are waking up and saying, oh, is this the wrath of God? Is this, at least they're being shook a little bit by the effect of this whole soon to be almost a shutdown, essentially.
I think if it goes into another stage of social shutdown, I think we need to again look at the ways in which we can still be there for the people. Because it depends on what the next phase of this thing is. If we go by the way in which it's developed in other countries, it peaks to a fairly severe mode and then it kind of levels out. But at that moment where they're doing in England, where the Prime Minister is telling them not to go out, only go out for essential services or emergencies or whatever. I mean, that's going to put further pressure on people. But again, I think through social media, through social contact, I think by phone, by email, we can assure people that we're there for them.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe put out resources on parish websites and apps and so forth, but still assure people that the priests in their parishes are celebrating Mass for their needs.
Definitely. And I think, look, this is, we're already starting to see huge responses from the diocesan groups, parishes, different youth groups. Everyone's meeting up via, I believe, what's called Zoom, which allows multiple people to meet together via video teleconference. Yeah. So people are making the effort to stick together. So, I mean, this is a good test for us to really step up to the challenge that, something's being taken away from us a little bit differently or something's being adjusted differently, that we step up to the game to keep that fire alive, to make that conscious decision. So I think it's a phenomenal challenge ahead, but it can be exciting. There's exciting elements. Are you excited a little bit, Father? To the challenges?
I don't know whether excitement's the right word.
Just to the challenging aspects, the good that might come out of this.
I think so. I mean, from history, every disaster has always produced a very positive result.
Exactly. And that's the way I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it as God's in control. We're not in control. God obviously doesn't will the bad, but He uses it for His own good. If we follow the guidelines of the government and the health officials, which everyone should do, and we do it and we live our faith within the guidelines of that, and we get through it and we don't let ourselves be shaken. Like, I mean, running around, picking up toilet paper, hoarding the supermarkets instead of hoarding prayer and grace, should be prayer and grace should be our priority, not hoarding the supermarkets. And we should be excited.
It's not by chance that the readings these last couple of days have been about healing.
Yep.
Sunday with the man born blind, and then today the healing waters from Ezekiel, and then the man from the pool of Bethsaida. I mean, this is God speaking to us, saying that healing is available if we turn to God and if we turn to each other.
That is absolutely true, Father.
We need to listen to God's word, and that's provided to us by the church every day with different readings. And like today, I was just overwhelmed with the way the readings were speaking to me, like in times of distress, that God is always there. This could be a wake up call to look at the basics in our life and to strengthen those.
Definitely. And look, I think you reiterate what, and you echo pretty much this week, what Father John Rizzo, exorcist for the Diocese of Parramatta, reiterated last week. He said he sees it as God testing us. This is a time where, God's saying to us, look, for those who are Catholic and those, that we're going through a crisis, but this is a time to show our faith to God, to prove ourselves. And this should excite us, because if we're up for the challenge and we're serious about our faith, we need to show, we need to live it, we need to put it into action, which is the essence of the Catholic Toolbox. We respond in the Catholic Toolbox here to the challenges of the day-to-day life of a Catholic on a practical level. It's not time anymore for theoretical, nice idea solutions. It's time to strategize and to think outside the box. And that's what we do here on the Catholic Toolbox. Yeah, I think we should be excited for the challenge, not obviously the negative aspects, but excited of how much grace and purification we will receive during this time. Definitely, Father. Thank you. Let's now recap on the three practical tools that we've discussed tonight. So the first being
the physical involvement.
Yeah, liturgical involvement.
People need to be involved in the liturgical life of their community. That people need to be involved in the formation of people as well, in terms of different study programs, teaching the church, and so forth.
So it's not just the parish priest job.
We collaborate.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah.
So everybody, this is a wake up call for everybody. Everybody needs to get involved.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. And as I said, that card that we have for the office staff, that grow, connect, and serve. So I think they're three words that should be part of every parish community.
Definitely. And the second practical tool I believe we discussed was the.
To be formed.
So to receive formation and to. Inherently give the formation.
That's right, yeah. Because, I mean, we need to allow people to know their faith, to grow in their faith, and programs and things like resources have to be there available for parishioners to be able to deepen their faith and be challenged by their faith and know their faith.
Definitely, Father. I think it's well said. And now let's turn to the third practical tool that we discussed tonight.
In terms of collaboration, and again, like what I find sometimes is that, especially like with parish councils and things like that, that some people sort of see that as a kind of life sentence. That, but I think if people can put themselves forward to different groups and things like that. Whether it's accompanying people with the RCIA, whether it's hospitality, whether it's being on parish council, being catechists or whatever, if you sit back, that there's always a ministry within a parish that someone can be involved.
Exactly.
And I think the more people who can open themselves and say, well, I can't do that, there's someone else doing that, and so forth. Well, that's pretty much the wrong attitude. It's looking at what a parish offers and seeing how they can best help out those particular ministries.
Exactly. And that sends a very clear message to all our parishioners and all other parishioners of different parishes that, look, if in any way you have a skill, you're a teacher, you're somebody who loves formation, teaching theology, you would be a great server. If in anything that you can contribute to the church, bring it forward.
That's right. And here in the parish, all they have to do is look at the annual report that gets printed to see just the diversity of ministries that we have here that are available. And you know, at every facet, you know, sacramental, spiritual, pastoral, it's all there.
So all they have to do is contact the parish office via the parish bulletin, they can just Google the parish.
Or just come in and have a chat with one of the secretaries or with myself and Father Chris, and we'll certainly sort of steer them in the right direction.
Definitely, and there's always a job to be done. I mean, if we're the mission of the church, the objective of the church is to save souls and get as many souls to heaven, get yourself and as many souls to heaven, and we need to contribute. We all need to play our part so that we're as effective as possible. We look at the secular world.
That's right.
They have every single skill, every single avenue, everyone pulling their weight to fight and to propagate evil in the world. If we as a church are not going to offer our services, our skills, our expertise in different areas to the life of the church, how are we going to win this battle? This is my message to every parishioner is find what you can contribute best to the church and come and see us, because that will help us move forward, especially in this coming crisis, and for the future, when we come out of this stronger and more purified, there's going to be a huge boom. And that's why I'm excited for. I'm looking down at the boom, you know, not really just this little temporary time.
Yes.
So thank you very much, Father, for equipping us with tonight's tools for the week. It's now time to actually put them into action.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
And the parish is there to help.
Okay, thank you very much, Father.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So if you enjoy listening to The Catholic Toolbox, why not consider emailing us here at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com to book your next speaking event or consultation, obviously after this whole COVID-19 occurs. So if you like any Catholic Toolbox gear or merchandise, you can support us here on the online store at spreadshirt.com/thecatholictoolbox or click the link in the live Facebook feed. Part of all your purchases will go towards supporting the Voice of Charity Radio Network. So to be sure to subscribe and download to the Catholic Toolbox podcast to re-listen to any of our episodes available on the Apple iTunes, Android, and all the other platforms. You can also re-watch any of our live episodes on our YouTube channel, especially Take Heed. We're live on social media. Get your phone out, download our podcast, and stay up to date with the Catholic Toolbox. Email us with any feedback, because now is the time for social media, for online presence, and we're here for you as the Catholic Toolbox and also the Voice of Charity Radio Network. We're here to answer your questions and be there and make your voice heard, especially because the only way we're going to hear each other is through the waves and through the electromagnetic spectrum that's out there. So thank you for tuning in to the Catholic Toolbox, the art of practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manasseh. Until next week, God bless, stay safe, and take action. In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic Toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity.